It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante along with Ross Tucker. And it is time for Ask Ross. We'll be sending out a KSN polo shirt for the best question. So, Ross, let's get right to it. All right. First question, I'm going to double up on you because these two guys asked similar questions. Jeff from Washington, D.C., and George, who describes himself as desperate in Juneau, Alaska. I think this is our first Alaska question, isn't it?
As far as I know, that's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Anyway, first, Jeff asks from D.C., as hard as it is to predict at this point, what long-term adaptions could you see this virus causing that changes how programs function in practice or in games? George asking a similar question, but actually went so specific as to ask, what changes can you actually picture some small breathing mask oxygen supply for the players as they play?
Yeah, so the latter one, if they needed something like that, I don't think they would play. Right. Like, you know, they don't need to play. They're not going to if it was still so bad that they needed that, I don't think they would play. And I don't know, Jim, if you and I talked about this last week, we may have not. In fact, we probably didn't, because I talked to Brett McMurphy, the College Football Insider, last Thursday afternoon for my You Better You Bet show on the radio.com app. And, you know, I know this isn't what people necessarily want to hear, but he felt like that there was a maybe even a 90% chance that we wouldn't have college football in the fall. And he said that because he talks to a lot of ADs and school presidents, and the thought is, are they really going to be able to bring back all of these students from all over the country back to campus in August and have them all be around each other? Or is it going to be online learning again in the fall? And if it's online learning, you know, can you say it's not safe for the students to come back, but it is safe for the football players to play football? Two more thoughts on that. One would be, he said that even if that's the case, though, they're going to have a college football season, and because they need to for a lot of different reasons, especially financially, and that the season would actually be start practice in January and end it at Memorial Day, which that just like blows my mind to even contemplate that. We could do a whole segment on that, you know, one of these weeks, if that's a possibility. But he said, you know, he doesn't think that there's a great chance it would be in the fall, but thinks that there it would absolutely happen in the spring, which would be mind blowing, especially when the season ends Memorial Day and then you get 2 months off and then you get the next season again. So that would be very interesting. So the reason why I mentioned that is they're not going to have some type of breathing masks or whatever out there. I do think that they will have, to answer the first question, stringent testing. And I don't know how often or how long that would go, probably until there's a vaccine, that I think they'd have pretty strict testing for, you know, team sport athletes that are in the same locker room. And also some very specific protocols within the locker room, maybe in perpetuity, maybe going forward, to try to make sure. And it's probably just a good idea anyway for the flu or any type of sickness. You don't want your players getting sick anyway. So maybe there'd be certain protocols about, washing hands, cleaning, stuff like that, the equipment, moving forward as a result of this. So those are some of the thoughts that I would have. You know, maybe the meetings are even virtual, you know, this season, and that the players are really just on the field, but they're not cooped up in meetings together. I don't know, Jim. It's a whole new world, obviously.
It is, and you're right. There's a lot more that we could cover on this, but what's interesting is I have a source who told me the same thing in talking to a couple different athletic directors, that spring is a real possibility. And we all get in trouble if we start to act like we're experts on any of this, but the last couple days have been very positive that this thing is there's some positive news, let's just put it that way. So it's constantly changing. We may end up having a regular season. But anyway, let's move on. Let's get to the more questions. Tom in Tunkhannock says, Ross, since there's not an Ask Bob button and you were present during most of Bob's top 25, how could Bob let the fourth and fifth linebacker be in the top 25 but not the starting safety in Jaquan Brisker? Brisker getting hurt would certainly hurt the team more than Lance Dixon getting hurt. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a fair critique. Now, I don't want to sit here and have to try to answer for Bob, obviously.
But you can be critical of him if you want.
Yeah, so I think the thought process from Bob is that he's not sure there's that much of a difference between Jaquan Brisker and, let's say, Jonathan Sutherland, right? So if Brisker gets hurt and they put in Sutherland instead, that might be a wash in his mind, right? I mean, those guys are already probably competing for the job. And I think that that's probably what Bob would say to it, is that, you know, one guy gets hurt, they put the other one in, you know, not that big a deal. Whereas he thinks, you know, Dixon and these other guys would have a chance to make more of a difference. But I actually tend to agree with the listener who emailed in. I think you have to put Brisker ahead of Lance Dixon and Jesse Luceda probably, and maybe even, you know, some of these other guys, even like a Marquise Wilson maybe, or a Dez Holmes. But I think it just goes to show Bob doesn't think Brisker is a difference maker and thinks Brisker is probably, you know, pretty even with Jonathan Sutherland.
Maybe I'll throw the question at Bob in quarter number four. All right. Next up is Michael in Savannah, Georgia. Hey, Ross and KSN team. Hope you guys are staying safe. Why does Penn State play Iowa so much recently? Looking at the schedule, they played them 6 years in a row. How does that work out for a team not in the same division, and how does the cross-division scheduling work in general?
You know, Jim, I don't know the answer to that. And I heard from a wise person one time that smart people or confident people are willing to freely admit when they don't know something. I don't know. I've always
I thought it was a
rotational basis, but evidently not.
I actually know the answer. Since I had the questions ahead of time, I looked. I kind of knew the answer, but I wanted to confirm it. Here's how it works. Because of this nine games and the number of teams, you end up seven teams in your division. You play those six games every year. There are two games cross division that get rotated, and then they designate one team for a six-year cycle as your crossover team that you always play. So it was Iowa for 6 years. So that's why Penn State played them. And I think, for example, Ohio State had Nebraska, for example. Now, starting in 2022, I think, Penn State's new crossover opponent will be Illinois. So Penn State will be playing Illinois for 6 years then. It's just a quirk of the schedule and playing nine games. That's how that works.
So I don't care for that. I feel like that is too long of a time period. You know, Ohio State was locked into a bad Nebraska team for 6 years. And Penn State's been locked into an Iowa team that has shown they can beat you. I think Michigan might have been locked into Wisconsin. It seems like they play Wisconsin every year.
They were. If I remember, I did look at it, and I should have brought my notes with me. I think Ohio State and Michigan are swapping teams. So I think Michigan's going to now be Nebraska, and Ohio State's going to get Wisconsin. So it may have been tougher for Penn State the last 6 years or the middle of 6 years now, but going forward, it looks like they're going to have Illinois while Ohio State gets Wisconsin. So if you're a Penn State fan, I guess you got to take that in trade. But it's also, again, just this an odd quirk of the scheduling. The one other thing is Purdue and Indiana, they have them as their crossover opponent every year because they're a rivalry game.
Got it.
So that's how that one works. All right, let's go to Brad in Palmyra. Ross, is Landon Tangwall the best offensive line commitment outside of PA in Penn State history?
Absolutely not. That is a good question. And he might be up there in the rankings, but I can just tell you, he certainly is not a better prospect than Rashid Walker was coming in. And to be frank, Jim, and I'm always honest on this show, I was not overly impressed with Landon Tangwall's video. After he committed, I checked him out. And for how highly ranked he is, I guess I was expecting more. I think he's a good player. I think he's physically very impressive. I mean, he looks like a college senior already. He's got big biceps and he's huge and he's 6'6", 300. I just, he's not quite as athletic or agile as I thought he would be. And so I know this is going to be a bummer to a bunch of Penn State fans, but I certainly didn't think that he was deserving of being as ranked as high as he is. And so next year when we do the 2021 evals and I see, you know, look, maybe he has a great senior year. You know, I'm going off of his junior video. Maybe he has a great senior year and he's obviously a great piece of clay to mold and work with. But yeah, I guess I was expecting more just based on his rankings and stuff. I thought there'd be a little bit more there. He certainly is not close to the prospect that Rashid Walker was, not even what Nana Asidu was coming out in that class, in my mind, as a prospect. So I don't like being the bearer of bad news, but I checked him out just because I was curious and did not come away overly impressed.
All right, that's it for quarter number three. We're going to name our winner at the start of quarter number four. Ross, thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.